Well, sisters and brothers, it's good that we're all here this Sunday morning. And as you came in, you looked at the altar and you thought, wow, they ran out of flowers, I guess. And then you see us wearing purple and you're like, oh, the penitential office. And you realize, oh my gosh, it's Lent. It's Lent. Lent has begun. We're here to start our Lent journey together. And actually, we're already 10% of the way through Lent. Did you know that? Yeah, 4 days already have gone by. So if your fast is hard, don't worry. You're already 10%. 10% done. For those of you who are like new to the Episcopal Church or our liturgical tradition, Lent is a time for spiritual and religious renewal in our lives, where we attempt to be just a little more truthful about how we are and who we are, and to bring all of that before God, the really good stuff and the bad stuff and the not so pretty stuff and the beautiful stuff. And we bring all of that before God in kind of a confession that we don't know quite what to make of all this, these confusing realities that we are in this world. And we ask God to do something with this, to take this up and shape us to be a people whose lives resonate a little more with the life that Jesus had, that we show more of Jesus in the world, that our souls show up just a little bit more in how we live. In that Lent season of 40 days and 6 Sundays, it ends with Holy Week, when we walk with Jesus, our Lord, our friend, into his suffering and death in Jerusalem, and we stay with him. And we let that suffering and death impinge on us so that when Easter comes, we, like him, can be born into a newer life, the life we've been praying for this whole Lent. And in the spirit of being really simple this morning and being not very poetic, I will tell you straight up what I hope to accomplish in the sermon. I want you to leave a little more curious about Lent. I would like you to leave wondering, like, maybe there's something in this for me. Maybe it could lead to me feeling more rooted and strong in myself and maybe a little bit more alive, a little bit more creative, a little bit more clear in how I engage the world. Maybe Lent is a good thing. Well, this year, as every year in Lent, we start with the gospel of Jesus in the wilderness. And the implication is really very straightforward again. Just as he spent 40 days and 40 nights, thank you, yep, in the desert being fasting and being tempted by the devil, so we are to go to our own desert and have 40 days of fasting in preparation for ministry. Right? Jesus did this before his ministry as a way of really getting into touch with who he is and his divine calling and all that might draw him away from that. And we too have this time to take a pause in life, to set aside time to pray and to think, to get stronger in ourselves so we can engage our new ministry in this world. And there are some features to this wilderness trek. Jesus does not go into the desert because he is ashamed or guilty or afraid or feeling bad about himself. He goes because the spirit of love and truth drives him there. And Carr spoke about this beautifully last week, that God touches our lives and we have these moments where God is close and we know God. And we need to take some time away then to really wonder about that and to let that sink into ourselves and come back to it. If it was 40 years ago, to come back to it again so that we can live more faithfully with that God. So God's Spirit drives us to the wilderness. And in that wilderness, it's a time apart for reflection, for solitude, for silence, really to turn our attention and come to grips with our lives in terms of AA, to do the searching inventory of our lives and map it all out and see what's there and to pray about it. Like, not knowing how God can use this, but offering it to God to be used. And we're there to be tempted. We're there to come face to face with those things in our lives that draw us away from that vocation to be close to God and to learn about them and to, with grace, say no to them. Now, Lent is utterly crucial for us this year at St. Paul's for two reasons. And the first reason I've been talking about ever since September when I came here is like, you're going to get a new rector. And that rector is going to catalyze a new ministry in which that person and the lay leaders and all laity of this parish come together and make something new. And we don't know what that's going to be. Like, we don't even know. We can't know ahead of time. So we need to go down and get strong and rooted in ourselves and kind of more creative and ready. So we're ready for that new chapter in our parish life. But there's a second reason, and it's more on my heart this Lent than usual. And that is I've been talking to a lot of people, and this is something we talk about privately or off to the side, but people just say, gosh, Robert, the world is on fire. The world just seems like a chaos right now. And there's all kinds of emotions going on with this. Some of us are really grieving that things that we had spent our whole lives building up are now undermined, sometimes just mocked, ignored. What do we make of this world? We're confused because our public space, oh my God, social media, is overwhelmed by just contrasting combat. Verbal combat and lies and misrepresentation and spin, spin, spin. And what's real? What is true in all these conversations? And then we have AI making things even worse. Am I real? I'm real. And then we're afraid, right? Because there just seems to be like a spirit of like, selfishness and cruelty seems to be on the rise. Like, my kids are going to grow up in a more cruel world than I grew up in. Like, what is that about? What is that about? And we see racism and anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism, we thought we got over that. Back. Xenophobia. Like, oh my gosh. So we're afraid. And we feel powerless, and we feel helpless. What do we do? Right, what do we do? Now, the problem with all these feelings that we have as we go to Facebook or see things happening is that fear creates hatred, that confusion creates resentment. And that hatred and resentment and that fear, they get into our souls and they can eat our souls. So our very capacity to be alive in this world and to be engaged with others and to build things for the common good begins to get diminished and we shrink and we retract. And maybe we get overcome in that stew of helplessness by feelings of hatred, fear. I was talking with a friend who's a bishop about this not too long ago, and I said, you know, in my life, I used to experience this genial overlap between the church and the world. Like, it was a Venn diagram, right? And they overlapped in the middle, and they could sort of talk to each other nicely, and we thought it was all kind of going to go forward easily and nicely together. We'd get more and more Christian as time went on. But now it just feels like the world and the church are like, the world is against the way of Jesus. That's what it feels like to me. And my friend, the bishop, said, it's like the Roman Empire. This time of complete brutality when the power was for power's sake. And Jesus walked right in the middle of that. And Jesus said, there is a different way. I call it the kingdom of God. And in this kingdom of God, which I'm not only announcing, but I'm going to create among you all, in this kingdom, compassion is more important than cruelty. We choose compassion, not cruelty. We choose mercy, not revenge. We choose humility, not domination. We walk in a different way. We make a different kind of community with compassion, truthfulness, humility, care. And maybe it can only exist as like a little cell in the midst of this other kind of kingdom. But the church is a place where people choose those values of humility and compassion and mercy and truthfulness, so much so they're willing to sacrifice worldly success, worldly esteem, worldly power. Walking the way of Jesus. So what we have need of now in this cultural moment we're in is actually Lent. We need time to step back from all the craziness and begin to ask ourselves, what really matters? Who am I? How have I benefited from the way the world has been? From all that's happened over the past 60 years or so in our country, how have I benefited from that? We ask those questions and we engage with 2,000 years of holy women and holy men who have walked this way before us. And we ask and we sorrow and we pray and we ask God to help us in our wilderness. We pause, we stop to deepen. And if we're like Jesus, we're going to be tempted. We're going to be tempted to think we just can solve all the problems ourselves. We can make bread out of our own power instead of really listening to what the Word of God wants in our actual lives. Or we're going to be tempted to just love spectacle, like the Super Bowl. Wow, that's something else. Or to be so admired that people will just like follow you wherever you go. Or we'll be tempted like Jesus was. Jesus was tempted to worship the devil, or it wasn't a real temptation. Isn't that shocking? Jesus was sort of, for a moment, he was like, yeah, I guess I could worship him a little bit, but then I get the whole world, and I can finally make it all my kingdom. And you experience that exact temptation with your iPhone, and it says, look at me, and I'll give you all the information in the world. And you're like, oh, that sounds pretty good. And then you lose your mind. We face these temptations. Really, that last one, who do we worship? What do we worship? What is our prime commitment? So if you're wondering, like, okay, that sounds pretty good. How do I do this? How do I really engage in a time of reflection and searching and prayer? Well, that's what the Lent program is for. And after this service, we're going to have the first in our series of Lent forums in which we are going to engage as much of the parish as possible in reflecting on our baptismal covenant, our way of following Jesus, not only in kind of a presentation, but in a small group reflection together. Reflection and prayer. Every Tuesday, there'll be mailings to the parish inviting you to pray with the gospel for the upcoming Sunday, and to wonder about that in your lives, as well as having kind of a kooky Lent practice, like something to try out for that week in Lent. That'll be happening. We'll have Eucharists on Wednesday every other week. We have a quiet day on March 14th. So we've done what we can to give you kind of a container for this Lent practice, this Lent journey. And so, brothers and sisters, I'm going to repeat Ash Wednesday. I invite you to the practice of a holy Lent. At the heart of who you are, there is such amazing goodness and strength and beauty and life. And we get all confused. We get distracted from that. But we can come back to that and know that no matter how the world is, we walk this way. We walk with compassion, with mercy, with humility, with truthfulness, and we have a mission to make God's love known in this world as it is right now. May God do this with us and bless us these 40 or so days. Amen.